This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. We offer a free Erotica podcast and a premium Patron Taboo podcast which contains more intense sexual themes. You can subscribe to the premium podcast for $2 per month or support the Erotica Podcast on Patreon to support us and allow members to request future stories and themes. Links are in the description. Thank you for listening. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Program by Idefixi. Chapter 1, How the Program Works. Exam, Selection, Installation, Observation and Accessories. The headmaster of Exclusive and Sony Academy was sitting by the fireplace in the faculty lounge with his younger colleague from a sister prep school in New England. They were drinking sherry at tea time, alone. In his mid-40s, the headmaster was wiry, with stiff gunmetal hair and a bristly, trim mustache. The key to the program's success and efficacy is that it's based on planning, attention to detail, and a slow accumulation of details, he explained. On orientation day, we give all the incoming students a lengthy multiple-choice questionnaire that I devised. I explain that it's a vital factor in determining their stay over 3 years. Upon completion, I throw the boys' exams in the rubbish bin and carefully review the girls' answers. The senior girl we're looking for doesn't have to be beautiful, just 18, pretty, and involved with sports or dance, so she's in excellent shape. Preferably, a girl who has attended an average public high school, not an exclusive, prestigious and expensive prep school like Ansonia. One who is on full scholarship as well, but tends to low self-esteem, does not know the other students, is inexperienced and shy. And it helps if her family lives far away so there's not too much contact. Do you ask questions regarding obedience and docility? The younger man asked. Oh yes. One of them goes something like, do you think that authority figures, 1, should be generally ignored or resisted, or 2, obeyed because they are intelligent, responsible and perform their jobs well? What about openness to punishment or discipline, and sexual history? There's a section for each. The discipline section asks whether the parents have ever spanked or whipped the child, how frequently, whether the punishment made the girl feel corrected, etc. The questions about sexual history, oral sex, intercourse, bisexual experience, etc., occur during the personal interview. I interview about a dozen candidates and observe their body language and responses. Our criteria are so detailed that it's not hard to choose the best applicant. Of course, since we have only one girl per year, we don't have a huge pool of graduates, but I'm pleased to say that this year we have our best girl by far in the history of our program. The headmaster sipped some of the expensive, aged sherry. First of all, she is both beautiful and extremely sensuous. Tall, 5'8", slim, fit, with very short straight hair, glossy and almost black. Incredible blue-gray eyes, a wide mouth with thick lips and silky, tawny skin. She has a sultry aspect, perhaps because of her long eyelashes and thick lips, that make her appear to be pouting sometimes. You could say that her hair, body and complexion look like a combination of Winona Ryder, Demi Moore, Halle Berry and Natalie Portman when they were all young. But unlike them in their younger days, her effect is not naive or innocent. Family? Her mother is poor and divorced and the father is completely out of the picture, a convenience for us. No siblings. The mother lives on the opposite side of the country, and it's time-consuming and quite expensive to fly here. The girl, her name is Janice, is shy, and since she's so hot-looking the boys and other girls think she's a snob and leave her alone. So she was not only lonely and insecure, but also craving a father figure. Her questionnaire stated that she thought teens her age, especially boys, were often selfish, arrogant and obnoxious. So she preferred the company of adults, who were much more mature, interesting and attractive. She's also the most sensual and submissive girl we've encountered, with a deep craving for humiliation and discipline. What about her history of discipline and sex? At first, she'd been spanked, but then her father moved on to whipping. She would remove her panties and skirt or pants and kneel on her bed. Sexually, she was amazingly naive for her age, a virgin who had never even given oral sex, just hand jobs. I actually prefer them that way, a clean slate with no bad behavior to correct or bad experiences to process. But she was on the pill. Once she's been selected, how do you explain the program? The young man inquired. In my office. The headmaster continued. She reads a lengthy legalese contract, explaining that the program is proprietary and confidential, that she cannot divulge it to her family or friends, and that any breach will result in immediate dismissal from the program and an end to her full scholarship. It states that I will be her faculty advisor, tutor and dorm monitor. The pot is then sweetened, explaining that she will receive a large room with a view, a stipend, a clothing allowance, a large screen LCD TV with cable porn channels that the girls quickly discover, free plane tickets home for major holidays, and many other generous benefits. Naturally, any girl is thrilled to sign. We move her into a spacious dormer suite in the top floor, directly above my apartment. Naturally, she has a roommate who we assign, knowing they won't like each other. In the first days for first semesters, somebody always gets ill or homesick and leaves permanently. The moment that happens, we transfer the roommate to the departed girl's room and both Janice and the transferred student are happy. What is the suite like? Asked the young colleague, now taking discreet notes. It's beautifully appointed. Most of the furniture is an elegant black, to contrast the girl's skin. The dining room table and leather chairs, plus the sofa, easy chairs, large coffee table and oversized ottoman, all have hooks or rings or eyelets at their bases to secure ropes and ties. The shower enclosure has clear glass for an unobstructed view. In the bedrooms, we built large walk-in closets and installed four-poster beds with slatted canopies. Of course, each room has been equipped with inconspicuous, state-of-the-art cameras that can record a good image in surprisingly dim light. The colleague looked up from his notepad. And once the girl's been installed? I explained that the program includes special study courses. One is an art tutorial, The Body Throughout Modern Times. I don't mention that the course begins with one of the large format books of teen nudes by a controversial photographer, and continues with the erotic tableau photos of Helmut Newton, filled with nude European women, leather, crops and whips. I also outline a women's literature study that begins with Anais Nin, Lady Chatterley's lover, and Men in Love, and eventually ends with The Story of O. For the film studies course, the dormer library is stocked with sensuous films with female nudity like Henry and June, The Unbearable Lightness of Being, and eventually concludes months later with The Story of O. How does the training begin? The first days of prep school are exciting, so we introduce elements from the beginning. On her first evening in the dormer, Janice received a gift bag. I explained that proper couture is one of the essentials to a successful career, and that we train our students in fashion, comportment, posture, politeness, and so on. She knew that her clothing was dowdy, dated, and full of polyester. The initial gift bag included a sheer silk blouse and skirt, a gossamer weight bathrobe, a lady's razor with a small pamphlet about how important it is to remove all body hair, with an illustrated tutorial about shaving all pubic hair daily, and nestled amidst some expensive eyeliner, mascara, blush and lipstick, a modest 4-inch dildo. I explained that the senior girls put together this welcome bag for select new girls. There was no lingerie for a reason I'll explain in a minute. Before saying goodnight, I explained that the entrance to her dormer was old and did not lock properly, but that campus security was superb and that she was extremely safe in this particular building and the top floor. I complimented how wonderful it was to have her and left. On my monitors, I watched Janice as she excitedly went through the bag. She stripped off her coarse top and unattractive pants, revealing a cheap, heavy cotton bra and panties, and was pleased with her new outfit. Apparently she didn't realize the sheerness of the blouse because of the tacky white bra she wore. Then she removed the skirt and blouse, carefully placed them in the closet, and sat at her brightly lit makeup table, playing with the makeup. After a few minutes, tired from the excitement and activities of orientation day, she washed up and went to bed. Since the dormer had no curtains or window shades, and there was a tall lamp next to the walkway outside, a fair amount of light penetrated the dormer at night. Janice was surprised about how visible she was, but felt securely private since the dormer was on the fifth floor and there were no other buildings visible. So the camera did an adequate job of showing Janice as she climbed into her luxurious, comfortable bed and opened the dildo box. I observed as she examined the accessory her first ever, almost definitely, and pulled off her ugly panties. I was impressed at how widely she spread her long legs, revealing sparse pussy hair and wet labia that were as thick puffy as her oversized nipples. She started rubbing her breasts and massaging those amazing nipples. After teasing the dildo around her big clit, she stroked the head up and down her slit and slowly pressed it in, moaning, sweating and writhing. Licking her big lips, massaging her breasts, and pulling her nipples, it didn't take long for her to orgasm. After, she withdrew the dripping dildo from her snatch and sniffed, sticking out a long, tentative tongue to taste her juices. Then she pulled off her bra and quickly fell asleep. Chapter 2, Measure Twice, Initiation, Erotica, First Punishment. In the morning, I knocked very early and waited until she opened the door. I had awoken her. Her hair tousled, sleepy-eyed. Wearing her new robe, she looked fabulous, oblivious that the sheer robe and the morning light streaming through the large windows behind her showed clearly that she wore no pajamas. Being half awake made her even sexier. I explained that it was Ansonia policy to personally wake students on their first day of class. Thank you, headmaster. You're welcome. I'll be back this afternoon after your swim period to begin our women's lit and women in film studies. That afternoon, we spent 50 minutes on D.H. Lawrence. Before moving on to film, I recommended a break. The senior girls didn't include any pajamas, lingerie or swimwear in your welcome bag because you left your measurements blank on your application. Why? She blushed. I haven't measured myself for 6 months, and I've developed. So I don't really know. All right, let me see the swimsuit. Go put it on. She returned in a couple of minutes wearing an unflattering bikini with a loud pattern, head depressed in embarrassment. The full cups and wide-cut panties covered way too much of her satiny skin. Well, that won't be hard to improve upon. Come along. We went into the bedroom together. Stand at the foot of the bed and remove that horrible bikini. She looked at me, confused and flustered. Miss Slider, I said, feigning irritation. We do things properly at Ansonia. No half measures. I've measured plenty of girls, it's no big deal, and your lingerie and swimwear will be beautiful, so we need to get it right. Fine clothing is expensive, and I know you'll look fabulous in it. Besides, your back will be turned to me. And I can assure you, I've seen plenty of bottoms during disciplinary sessions. She stood in front of the bed's railing, tense. We don't have all day, I said, reaching out and unclasping the top. Awkwardly, she drew the straps off her shoulders and pulled the big cups off her breasts, throwing the top on the bed. Impatiently, I grabbed the panties and pulled them down to just above her knees, a humiliating place to leave them. I could hear her breathing deeply with embarrassment. I began to grow harder the moment her tight, gorgeous young ass came into view. Damn, I forgot the tape measure. It's in my jacket at the dining room table. While I get it, remove those stupid panties. Then, to make it easy to measure you, raise your arms to horizontal and hold onto the bedpost for support. The tape measure was really in my pocket, but I wanted to give her a minute's privacy to adjust to the idea of being nude and assuming a posture. I walked out, looking behind me as she grudgingly shuffled her legs and feet till the panties dropped to the floor. I pretended to shut the bedroom door behind me, but the bedroom and bathroom doors had been precisely hung to slowly swing open. Once the door had reopened, I watched as she raised her arms and grasped the bedposts. She was magnificent. I walked back in and pulled a small metal tape measure out of my pocket. Very good, I said. Rather than a supple fabric measure, I had chosen this one because the stiff metal would be uncomfortable and also cold on her breasts and nipples. Without touching, I stood behind her and lifted the measure over her head, resting it on her lovely breasts. Oh, she said, startled by the cold metal. I dragged the measure down her breasts till it was hanging in front of her huge nipples, now hardening and pulled until the metal pressed against the nipples. She said, but made no complaint as I drew the ends together over her spine and muttered about doing this accurately. Then I pulled harder, the metal pressing harshly into her nubbins and beginning to compress her breasts. I could tell it hurt, but she made no complaint, just uttered, I've got it now, 35. I released the tape and her breathing relaxed. Then I proceeded with her slim waist and gorgeous hips. There, that wasn't so hard, was it? I asked. No, sir. You may lower your arms. I advised her to study hard and we'd see each other tomorrow. Thank you, sir, she said as I left. When I brought the new clothing a few days later, she squealed with delight and kissed me on the cheek. She loved the bikini, in white to contrast her tawny skin and daringly cut for her. The lacy pastel panties, in blue, pink, yellow, green and orange, were all bikini cut and the bras, in matching pastels, were all half cup with plenty of lace. An interesting detail is that none of the lace on either the bras or panties covered much of a girl's privates. But Janice fell in love with them before she noticed that revealing design detail, and then shrugged it off as being a French style thing. The baby doll nighties were as revealing as her sheer bathrobe, in pastels to match the bras and panties. Each bra and panty set included matching stay-up stockings.
Well, stockings too, she said. Would you like to see me model the bikini? She asked eagerly.
What a sweet idea.
Please.
But why don't you take a quick hot shower, so you can see if the fabric and fit are comfortable when wet? She cocked her head, thinking this was an unusual request, but since I gave two logical reasons, she acquiesced. When she stepped out of the shower, the mirror had completely fogged, so she wrapped a towel around her and returned to the living room. When she returned, she was a sight, shiny black hair dripping, her skin a healthy complexion, smiling as she pretended to be a runway model walking back and forth in front of me. I chuckled and applauded. She unwrapped the towel as a slow tease, placing one leg behind her in a cute curtsy. It was obvious that she was becoming prouder of her body and less self-conscious about showing it.
You look lovely, I said.
The innocent girl had no idea that the thin white fabric had been chosen because it became virtually transparent when wet. I unabashedly stared at the heavy 35C tits capped with the dark aureole and even darker, stiff nipples, plain as day.
Does it fit and is it comfortable?
I hope so, because you look ravishing. I was specifically referring to her thick labia, pressing against the soaked, transparent material.
It feels tight all over, sir, but I like it too much to let it go.
I should hope it was tight, since it was intentionally a size too small for her voluptuous body.
Of course, it's a lot briefer than what I'm used to.
All right, put your towel back on, take it off and I'll hang it to dry while you get dressed. She was becoming used to my odd requests, and this seemed harmless, so she obeyed, contorting herself underneath the towel, and handed me the wet pieces. Good, I had prevented her from seeing her tits and pussy exposed in one of the bedroom mirrors. Over the next weeks, Janice liked her teachers, was doing well in her classes, and with a daily workout schedule, was losing her tiny amount of body fat. I made sure that she called and emailed her mother frequently. She seemed cheerful, well-adjusted and content to not have friends on campus, which suited me perfectly. Like anyone else, she attended various concerts and other events, but didn't hang out in the student union. We proceeded with her tutorials. At first she'd sit in a chair while I was on the couch, but that immediately proved to be impractical when we studied art books and watched DVDs, so we sat together on the leather sofa. She was excited by the pioneering sexual frankness of D.H. Lawrence, and bought a vintage 1920s dress at an off-campus boutique that she wore without bra or panties during our sessions. It was a virginal, risque look, since the dress had areas of revealing lace. Janice explained that she'd always loved wearing costumes, and I took this as a good sign, since soon enough she would be wearing nothing but a black silk bustier, or a white waist cincher, or a brocade under-bust corset with heels, or a bondage leather harness, or black ropes binding her luscious tits and pussy lips so they bulged. She watched
the unbearable lightness of being
several times. After the first viewing, Janice idolized the character Lena Olin played and was so turned on by the scene with Olin wearing a black bowler and lingerie, that she bought a black lace bra and panty set at an expensive lingerie boutique in town. She even bought a bowler at the store where she purchased the 1920s dress.
The second time, she watched clad in just hat, bra and panties. Once the sex scenes began, it didn't take long for her to masturbate herself to multiple orgasms. After the unbearable lightness of being, her syllabus featured, "Tie me up! Tie me down!" She was fascinated by the bondage bed scenes with Victoria Brill and watched them repeatedly, always bringing herself off. Her art course progressed as well. After the controversial photography book of teen nudes, we studied Helmut Newton's work. Fascinated by the nude scenes with bondage gear, she asked lots of questions, trying to hide an excitement that was charmingly obvious. She began frequenting BDSM sites on a daily basis, bookmarking sites for erotic clothes and bondage gear, and reading stories filled with harsh scenes of domination, sucking and fucking. During this period, she also received another gift bag. Also ostensibly from the caring but invisible and anonymous senior girls. This assortment contained a small black vibrator that, along with the earlier dildos, quickly saw nightly use. Despite this frequent self-pleasuring, it was clear that, being highly sexed, her level of frustration was increasing weekly. One evening I indulged her pleading and permitted her some dessert sherry. She quickly guzzled four glasses till I admonished her to stop. She said she figured that I wasn't married, and assumed I didn't have a girlfriend either. I explained that I was a lot like her, independent and highly selective, preferring females not my own age. She explained that she wanted to do something for all my kindnesses. "That's not necessary," I said. "Because I'm so selective, I prefer buying things for myself. And there aren't any objects that I want. I prefer gifts of a non-material nature. Headmaster, I know that you like me, since you're always complimenting me, saying how hot and sexy I look." I said nothing. "And I know you get excited when I'm wearing a costume, or showing off half-dressed, because I see the hard-on in your pants. This kind of talk is inappropriate, Janice. I may not have a lot of experience," she continued, ignoring me. "But those two boys at the mall said I gave them the best hand job ever. And they couldn't wait for me to go down on them with oral sex. Miss Slatter, please get to the point. I want to give you pleasure." She stubbornly insisted, and pushed away the coffee table, slid off the couch, and knelt on the floor. "I think you better stop right there, young lady," I said softly but sternly. As if deaf, she moved between my legs and spread her knees as wide as she could. "Headmaster, I'm begging you to let me show you. I'd like to give you a hand job. You'll see I'm not just good at studying and scholarships. What has gotten into you?" I asked but made no move to stop her. She began undoing her tight blouse and shrugged it off her shoulders. The tops of her exquisite tits, heaving with arousal, were exposed above the skimpy half-bra, framed by pale blue lace. "Maybe I can convince you by showing you some skin? Don't you like seeing my breasts? Don't all men like seeing this? I like showing you. Miss Slatter, what do you think you're doing?" I hissed. She didn't pause for a moment, just unzipped and removed her skirt, showing the sexy lace tops of her blue stay-ups and tiny bikini panties. "Turning you on, headaster. Look at your pants." My enormous hard-on was indeed tenting my slacks. "And I can touch myself." One hand caressed the breast while the other poked inside the tight small panties. "I said that is enough," I said fiercely, but she leaned forward and brazenly began unbuckling my belt, her breasts brushing against my knees. "If you don't stop, I'll be forced to punish you," I warned, but she tugged my pants down to my ankles. "Look, I even have lubricant for your cock," she announced proudly and pulled a bottle of lube out of a skirt pocket. "I'm warning you for the last time." She just laughed saucily and leaned forward to remove my boxers. I had strung out the scene as long as possible. Now she would receive her first major punishment, in tandem with agonizing pleasure, and understand who was the master and who the submissive. A second before my raging cock sprang free, I grabbed the hair at the top of her head and jerked it up. "Oh wow!" she yelled, her momentum interrupted, squeezing those sexy lips together in a full-blown pout. I pushed her back till she was leaning on the coffee table and stood, kicking my pants from my feet and ankles. She must have thought I was going to make her suck me, because a flicker of fear passed across her face. "Get up!" Once she stood, I grabbed her bicep and led her to the closest dining room chairs. They had been designed to a perfect height, her groin, as was proved when I pushed the small of her back down over the leather chair top. "Are you going to spank me?" I laughed, pulling four cuffs and a tawse from the dining room table drawer and fastening them to her wrists and ankles. "Spanking is for children." I tied her wrists to rings at the bottom of each chair leg. "No, you were warned multiple times," I reminded her, tying off the ankle bindings. "You will be punished with a leather tawse." "What's that?" she asked as I stripped off her blue panties, leaving her long legs framed in the frilly stockings. "It's like a small paddle, but the thick leather is a bit flexible." I placed the tawse on the chair seat, inches from her face, and let her smell the pungent leather as I gazed at her pouting pussy lips, so thick and low-hanging, below a gorgeous dark rose ring of slightly puckered skin. Her slit was already damp. "You wouldn't want to embarrass yourself by yelling, so put this in your mouth." She opened her meaty lips and I inserted the panty, wet with her juices. It hardly filled that wide slash of a mouth, but would muffle her cries that I struck her back first. She moaned but never screamed. When finished, I returned the instrument of her punishment to the chair and massaged a soothing oil onto her back, explaining that I regretted the necessity for harsh punishment, but the crop or cane would have been far worse. She groaned as my strong fingers worked the oil into her inflamed skin, constantly moving her torso in excitement. I retrieved the tawse and laid into her thighs. She grew even more excited, hips and thighs twisting alluringly, cunt juices now glistening from her labia. I repeated the oil-based massage. It was time to alter the technique. I beat her tight ass harder than her back and thighs until it bloomed with red mottling. But after every hit, I massaged the spot with oil. So every moment of pain was contrasted with a moment of relief. She sniffled but never begged for mercy, her pelvis pumping back and forth against the leather chair. After a half dozen blows, I struck the thickly hanging lips. This time she screamed, as much in shock as in pain. "Oh my God, please headmaster, don't whip my pussy!" She desperately implored until I replaced the taws with my oiled fingers, rubbing the outer lips. Oh yes, She moaned, for the pleasure-slash-pain switch had been thrown. The second hit was further down, but she didn't scream, hoping for relief, which I quickly applied. "Oh God!" she uttered as I stroked the length of the engorged lips till the oil mixed with cunt juice dripped onto the floor. I dropped the taws down in front of her face so she would be forced to smell her cunt juice mixed with the oil. "Open your legs wider." Did she guess what was next? She moved her limber feet apart, and I pushed a pillow from the couch under her belly, exposing more of her mons. Instead of striking the final spot, I soaked my fingers and gently stroked the hood of her fat, protruding clit. She screamed in unbridled joy, thrusting her groin back at me, hips swiveling with craving for release. "Yes," she cried. "Please, please." But I had stopped. In the stillness, she realized what was coming. "Oh God, please, not that." Frenziedly, she pulled at her wrist bonds, but the heavy chair barely moved. I pushed back the flaps of the hood and squeezed the engorged clit itself. The incredible sensation was now mixed with fear. I pumped her entire fat shaft harder and faster as she ascended toward a fearsome orgasm, mumbling, thrashing and gyrating in her bondage. On the brink, I savagely struck the defenseless, exposed clit a half dozen times. Her entire body seemed to lift off the chair, muscles and tendons stretched tautly, as her head jerked back in an extreme climax that even impressed me, savagely jerking her pelvis up and down until, over the space of a minute, she slowed down and hung limply. I pried the saturated panties out of her slack mouth, fixed myself a drink and admired the sweat-drenched and greasy body, spotted with the evidence of her discipline. I already knew she was a budding exhibitionist, so she didn't say a word when I spent several minutes photographing her prostrate form from a number of angles, including close-ups of her inflamed, swollen clit and raw red cunt lips. Refreshed, I was ready for the final portion. I yanked up Janice's head and held a glass of sherry at her lips, which she downed. "Thank you, headmaster," she croaked hoarsely. "Will you defy me ever again?" She shook her head. "No, sir." "Could you untie me now?" "I can untie your hands." I undid her wrist straps, which she immediately rubbed. The skin was tender from when she strained against the ties during her orgasm. I moved the pillow from her belly to the edge of the table and lifted her head until her forehead rested on the pillow. She was confused. "Sir, will you untie my legs now?" "No, Janice, because your lesson in obedience is not yet over." "Why?" she asked groggily. "Since you insisted on playing with not only your pussy but also your tits, they will be thrashed as well." There was silence while she weighed the consequences of resistance, realizing that I might also give her a second orgasm. "Yes, master." It was the first time she had used the abbreviation of my complete title, headmaster. We had entered a new chapter. I unclasped the pretty bra and drew it off her, enjoying the spectacle of her heavy tits hanging down between the table edge and chair back. "Do I need to gag you again?" "No, sir." I went to her bedroom, opened the night table drawer, and removed her dildo. Back in the dining room, I inserted it between her raw and tender cunt lips. She sighed with pleasure and began humping her mons against the chair as I smacked her pendulous tits very hard, alternating each hit with a caress of or stroke of the heavy orbs. Almost immediately, she entered subspace and loved every moment. Soon her oil tits were so wet that the liquid ran down her long nipples and dripped onto the chair seat. I regretted that there was too little space between the sensitive bottom side of her tits and the chair surface with which to swing the taws. Oh well, some other time. Moreover, I longed to clamp and weight her huge nipples, but I knew that the program took time and could not be successfully rushed. It followed a gradual timetable, and I especially would not risk anything, considering the spectacular specimen I was brutalizing and pleasuring. But between each slam of the taws into her tits, I did begin kneading, squeezing, bending and stroking her nipples, which immediately made her pre-orgasmic. When she was on the brink, grinding and twisting the dildo into the chair, I applied the taws directly to her nipples, watching the tit globes ripple and shake with the agonizing impacts. Finally, she screamed, but it was brief, because she came in another imposing frenzy, her head whipping back and forth as drops of sweat flew off. When she had stopped, I dropped my shorts, twisted her lax head to face me, and shoved my cock into her limp mouth, fucking her face for only a minute or two before I spurted a long-waiting flood of jism into her. When the tenth spurt had shot into her, I released her head, which flopped down. My cum had accumulated in a pool on the roof of her mouth. Since her head and torso were upside down, the roof was the lowest portion. I watched as her tongue extended down into the hot cum and swirled around in it, savoring the taste, the only movement her exhausted cum slut of a body could muster. After photographing her again, with special attention to the pendulous tits and dripping nipples, I staggered down to my apartment, leaving her hanging over the chair. Chapter 3. Hardcore Erotica, Accoutrements, Daily Restraints, A Plea for Punishment. After that dining room scene, everything changed. Janice showed me complete respect and adoration, mixed with a tinge of apprehension about my disciplinary potential. I tested her servitude in various ways. For example, I would arbitrarily ask her to change an outfit, or to switch Midday into a revealing baby doll, or to remove her bra and panties as we were driving to an expensive restaurant in a neighboring town. Sometimes I ordered her to masturbate in front of me, using a combination of fingers, a dildo, and a vibe. If she needed shoes, knowing that part of her sluttishness was an exhibitionistic streak, I accompanied her, making sure she wore her shortest skirt without panties. Sitting in front of a young male salesman, teasing him with split-second flashes, she was the perfect mix of humiliation and excitement. When I presented her with a new 6-inch dildo and larger anal plug, I ordered her to break her hymen, which she did later the same night. By this time she was watching The Story of O, in tandem with reading the novel. I assured her that, even though Corinne Clary, the actress who played O, was hot, gorgeous and sexy, Janice, with her far bigger mouth, lips, tits and nipples, plus her longer legs and more enticing rump, was far more alluring. Besides, in the period when O was filmed, women didn't shave their mons, whereas Janice's dutiful daily shaving kept her thick, long labia prominently visible when naked. She loved jewelry, so she started wearing bondage accoutrements. Her breasts and pussy lips were frequently roped. She wore different sorts of nipple clamps, mostly butterfly, although all were heavy-duty to accommodate her massive nipples. Weights were added, then a chain connecting the nipple clamps. Or her nipples were cinched with leather shoelaces, also tied to weights. Her breasts were bound with wide rubber bands, rope, leather and Velcro strips. I lined some new full-cup bras and several panties with the coarsest sandpaper, abrading her mercilessly as she wore them to classes. I in the dormer, she grew accustomed to ball and penis gags. At night, her neck collar was usually tied to the headboard. One of her favorite tortures was the breast press, since the metal rods and horizontal wood boards made her big tits bulge obscenely. Everything was carefully photographed in different positions and styles of lighting. The next step was to force her to wear items to morning classes. On a Monday, I began with straps tightened at the base of her breasts, bulging her tit flesh and keeping her nipples semi-tumescent in class. Once she'd accepted that humiliation, on Tuesday I had her wear a small dildo. For Wednesday, she took a small anal plug, and on Thursday, mild pussy clamps. For Friday? She wore all four items and didn't get to concentrate much on her lecture's point. One day, Janice brazenly asked if I would please flog her, since the multiple movie scenes of O being beaten excited her deeply. She recounted the scenes in detail, O with her hands tied above, whipped shortly after her arrival at Rawasi, O's savage beating and fucking by the young man Sir Stephen gave her to, O's flogging at the women's retreat, strung between two pillars. Janice wanted to know how it felt, and whether it might be exciting. And she relived the two massive orgasms when she'd been tossed at the dining room table. "Why should I?" I asked. "Because I know it would please and excite you," she said. "And when you are done, with me still tied, you might want to fuck me." Chapter 4, First Cropping, Breast Bondage, Double Blowjob. It was a few months later, and Janice's training was proceeding spectacularly. When I thought she was ready, I said that the Vice Chancellor was looking forward to meeting her, and that he had suggested dinner at the dormer on Saturday night. The food would all be provided from the executive dining room. All she had to do was look great, set the table and be a cooperative host. Janice was excited to entertain, and immediately asked what to wear. I responded that her white blouse and black skirt with heels would be fine on Saturday morning. I instructed the housekeeper to clean while Janice was at the gym, and to include all of her bras and panties in the weekly laundering. At 4 p.m., I walked into her apartment I had stopped knocking a few weeks before, in hopes of finding her undressed and embarrassed. She was in a panic, freshly showered and wrapped in a bath towel, and rummaging through her dresser.
"Hello?"
I ventured. "Oh, headmaster," she exclaimed, whirling to face me, unconscious of her wet hair, shoulders and towel. "I'm so glad to see you. I can't find any underwear. I suppose the housekeeper took it for washing and it will be back tomorrow. But no worries, I've been holding a treat for you, on the occasion of your first dinner party." I showed her the beautiful gift box I'd been holding behind my back. She recognized the name of the French lingerie designer on the box. "You're a lifesaver," she said, impetuously holding her damp body against mine and hugging me. "See you at 7 o'clock. I said and left. When Janice opened the box, it contained two sets of stunning bra, panties and garter belt, one in black and the other in white. She felt like a young woman, receiving her first garter belts with matching stockings. But she took too long on her hair and makeup, so it wasn't until 6:45 that she tried on the black panties and saw they were much briefer in front and rear than her pastel sets, exposing much of her ass cheeks. She was even more taken aback when she put on the black bra. Unlike her half-cup pastels that revealed so much of her breasts, this was only a quarter cup. The tag said it was also called a shelf bra. Staring into the mirror, she felt ashamed that her nipples were left totally bare, but she also felt daring and racy. Besides, it was late and there was nothing to be done about it. And she had to spend time arranging her stockings and black garter belt for the first time. I arrived at 7:15 with fresh flowers. She had lit a number of candles and the dormer looked good. Saying I'd never seen her look so grown up, beautiful and sexy, I bowed, clasped her hand high above her head, and invited her to take a twirl. Gracefully, she whirled around, the light short skirt rising up to reveal the stocking tops and bottom of the garter straps. I grew a little hard. She saw me staring at her legs. "Do you like your new gifts?" I asked innocently. "Yes, sir, I do, even though they're very grown up." She twirled back under my arm faster, so the skirt exposed the tops of her legs and a bit of her panties. "Lovely," I said, realizing she had done it intentionally. So my submissive student was also an exhibitionist, This impression was confirmed when the vice chancellor arrived. Janice seemed a bit put off by his hard eyes and steely good looks. But she relaxed a bit as he and I sat on the leather living room couch while she served us vodka martinis. She had unbuttoned the top two buttons of her tight blouse, exposing cleavage as she leaned far over to set down our drinks. As he and I were about to toast the evening, Janice stood in front of us, looking forlorn. "What is it? Couldn't I please have a small drink, headmaster?" The vice chancellor and I exchanged looks and he nodded. "All right, but just one, and it will be small," I warned, getting up to make pour a double amount of vodka into a highball, covering the alcohol by making a white Russian. The three of us toasted and Janice sat in the chair facing us, automatically spreading her legs and showing her sexy, lacy new stockings. Delicious," she said, sipping the sweet concoction. We chatted generally for a few minutes until Janice had quickly consumed all of her drink. I asked her to move closer, from her chair to the coffee table. She stood quickly, swaying from the quick intake of her cocktail. I grabbed a wrist to steady her and led the girl to our side of the coffee table, where she sat on the edge, feeling a bit dizzy and forgetting the standard sitting position. Gently, I placed a hand on the inside of a thigh and pushed outward. Reflexively, she spread both legs as wide as possible, the short skirt rising to reveal the elegant stocking tops, and rested her hands on the table surface behind her. The vice chancellor looked at the big tits above the shelf bra and the dark nipples thrusting against the taut, thin white silk. When he complimented her that she looked lovely and was becoming a young woman, Janice blushed proudly. I mentioned that she was wearing brand new lingerie, including, for the first time, a garter belt. "Really?" the vice chancellor asked. "I'd love to see it." Janice frowned, her thick lips coated creamily from the white Russian compressing in the cutest pout. "Janice?" I prompted her. She bit her lower lip, so much like a girl. I reached out and gently slapped her cheek. "A host is supposed to take care of her guests." I slapped the other cheek. "The vice chancellor just wants a peek." She must have swung from embarrassment to exhibitionism, because her head jerked up and she looked at the vice chancellor as she slowly raised the skirt, exposing the black straps on top of the smooth, olive thigh skin. Staring at her, the vice chancellor said, "Now that I've seen the straps, show me the belt." Her eyes darted to me, but I simply stared back, stone-faced. She raised the skirt until her panties were visible, her slit and bulging lips pressing against the tight, gauzy material. As the saying goes, the air was thick. In the waning summer light, we could see the moisture glinting on her freshly shaved mound. Did she realize we could see her clearly? Breathing deeply, she raised the skirt higher, showing the tight belly between the low waistline of the panties and the garter belt. "Thank you, Janice," the vice chancellor said. "You look magnificent in such fine lingerie. You may cover yourself now." We talked more, but the tone of the evening had clearly been set. A delivery boy brought dinner, which Janice put on plates and served. The vice chancellor and I had glasses of red wine, which Janice looked at longingly. "If I serve you a single glass of white wine, do you promise to behave for the remainder of the evening?" She nodded vigorously, so I poured her a glass of sweet Chenin Blanc, which she enjoyed. When Janice cleared the plates and glasses, I spied her surreptitiously pouring and drinking another glass of white in the kitchen. When she emerged, the vice chancellor and I were again sitting on the couch and I motioned for her to sit as before on the coffee table. Once she'd spread her legs, the vice chancellor said, "Now Janice, show me the last piece of your new lingerie ensemble." Again, she looked at me for support that was not forthcoming. "That was not a request," he added. "Come, come, Janice, you heard the vice chancellor," I said. She did not respond, so I leaned forward and slapped first one breast and then the other. Still, she sat unmoving, except for the heaving of her chest. Apparently it was all right to show her pussy, since it was covered by panties. But with the shelf bra, her nipples were completely exposed. "You're not only disobeying your superior, one of Ansonia's most important officials, you're offending a guest and embarrassing me. If only I had my pastel bra," she whimpered, since it was a half bra. It was unclear to me whether the cocktail and wine had made her more spunky and resistant than usual. "You're breaking a promise you made only minutes ago during dinner, to be obedient tonight. This is my last warning," I spoke quietly. "You will be punished, and I don't mean with a spanking." Janice recalled the photos in the Helmut Newton books that she'd studied so intimately. I stood, reached behind her, fastened her wrists together with a black velvet wrist cincher, undid the last three buttons on her blouse and handed the vice chancellor a crop. Janice's eyes widened when she saw it. Still reclining on the sofa, the vice chancellor reached out with the crop, placed a leather tip in her bare cleavage, and with agonizing slowness, moved the crop outward, pushing the fabric. The tip pushed into her breast and scraped hard directly across the nipple, until the blouse fell off her shoulder. The vice chancellor gasped at the erotic sight of her dark, thick and long nipple stalk. He glanced at me, impressed and excited. I smiled and nodded slightly. "You are an exceptionally beautiful girl," he said. Janice's eyes were lidded and she was perspiring. He repeated the disrobing on the other side. "There's just one problem. Your beautiful big tits are so large I can't see the bra very well. But I have a solution." From his pocket he pulled four black leather strips that contained metal rings. One, the widest, he fastened around Janice's elegant neck, the ring positioned in front, a leather strap hanging from it down into her cleavage. He wrapped two tightly around the middle of each breast, till the young flesh bulged on each side of the leather straps. A horizontal strip across her cleavage connected the two bands. Janice moaned in discomfort, incredulous at how her body was being used. Finally, The vice chancellor connected the vertical strap on her collar to the horizontal strap and began tightening. Janice groaned in amazement as her heavy, distorted breasts were lifted several inches off the bra.
Ah, much better, the vice chancellor said. A bra as lovely as your tits. I think we're ready for your punishment now.
I grabbed the seminude teenager by the arm and raised her up, leading us into the bedroom till she faced the foot of the bed. I untied her hands and the crumpled blouse fell off. The vice chancellor retied her wrists in front and, lifting her arms, tied them to a hook in the ceiling that she'd never really noticed while I dragged the panties down her hips and legs and threw them aside. The vice chancellor pushed a leather bridle gag into her mouth while I secured her ankles wide apart and strapped them to rings sunk into the dark wood floor. Stretched taut, she looked incredible, a light sheen on the flawless young skin. We viewed the thick, heavy and protuberant labial lips, glistening with moisture. The vice chancellor held two pairs of clamps in front of the girl's tits, now heaving with fear and excitement.
Since you refused to show us your fat nipples before, Janice, I think we should hide them now. One pair is to hurt those proud nipples, the other is to inflict pain on your equally big cunt lips.
Oh God, oh my God, she murmured. The nipple clamps were the adjustable type whose screw could be tightened severely, but left the entire nipple exposed. The metal cunt clamps were each 3 inches wide, so one clamp could effectively crush the entire length of one labia. The vice chancellor handed me a nipple clamp and together, we screwed the clamps into the base of both nipples as she began kneeling in pain. We kept turning until the dark chocolate stalks bulged from the relentless pressure, and she screamed, trying to wrench her tits away from us. I was concerned that she was on the verge of hyperventilating.
Calm down and try to breathe into the pain, I advised her.
Wonderful, the vice chancellor said. Now for your cunt, my dear. He got on his knees in front of her, staring at the big lips. They were so thick he had to make an effort to force open the heavy spring so that the jaws would open enough to slide over the labia. It was a good thing that her lips were so wet with juices because the vice chancellor had to force the heavy metal onto her slick flesh. This time our bondage beauty really yelled, leg scissoring in fresh pain. Pleased, the vice chancellor stood and addressed the glazed, pain-filled eyes of my charge. Are you ready to receive your punishment, Janice? He asked. She nodded dazedly and walking behind her, he struck the strip of skin beneath the garter belt and her ass. She cried out, swaying as her breasts shook and a cruel red stripe bloomed on the unblemished skin.
You'd better steady her from the front, the vice chancellor said.
I stood in front of her, ogling the sweating and squeezed breasts, the nasty nipple clamps, naked cunt and severe labia clamps, her pussy encapsulated by the lacy garter straps, and placed a hand on her flat stomach. Her eyes looked at me with resignation. As the vice chancellor raised his arm and swung, I heard the crop whistling before it cracked onto the top part of her tight ass. My hand prevented her body from jerking forward as much as before. This time, rather than scream, she moaned, while twin strands of saliva emerged from the corners of her mouth and I slid my hand down to her abdomen. The third cut dug into her meaty upper cheeks. In front, the drool had reached her banded breasts. Her body was incredibly turned on, so I was not surprised to see a streak of pussy juice at the inside top of her thigh. But I was deeply impressed by her ability to take pain. She had only cried out once, at the first stroke.
Half done, the vice chancellor said, tracing her new marks with his fingertips as my hand lowered to just above her mound.
He struck the center of her ass and my hand cupped her pussy. The saliva had run across the leather breast straps and down to her rock-hard nipples. She jerked in alarm, eyes wide with fright. Shame and arousal, as the fifth blow landed on the lower part of her ass. My finger moved into her slit, which was completely drenched. The saliva had now started to run off the thick nipples onto their vicious clamps. Here comes the last. A final cut struck the tops of her thighs as I placed the second finger between the imposing clamps into her wet slit, noting how the insides of both thighs were now streaked and glistening.
You did exceptionally well, my dear, the vice chancellor said. You should be proud, now that your body looks even more beautiful with welts marking you. Here is a special salve to help soothe your marks. It has aloe, menthol and more. I trust you're still holding her, headmaster.
He squirted the cream over her rear, each squeeze making a lurid sound. Janice's body jumped as the cold, thick white goo sprayed over her inflamed ass. She felt a gob strike the top of crack and begin to slide down between her cheeks. The vice chancellor carefully smoothed the gunk into her wheels as the bound girl moaned through her gag, taking care to work it into all of her cheeks. He glanced at me and nodded as he inserted his greasy finger between her cheeks, reveling in the sight of her dusky, rose-shaded nether ring. Janice groaned.
Egg!
In well-deserved panic, wriggling in her bonds, as the vice chancellor coated his pinky finger from the bottle of salve and pressed his fingertip directly into her sphincter. As expected, the girl screamed and leapt forward, allowing me to sink both fingers several inches into her cunt. All three of us remained still for several moments while, on the brink of orgasm and desperate to come, she decided whether to debase herself even more. I was hardly surprised to see her push her hips back into the vice chancellor's finger and groan in ecstasy as she pumped her groin back and forth, sinking my fingers and the vice chancellor's inches deeper. He nodded at me, and I removed all four clamps, scraping and forcing the labia clamps off her swollen cunt lips, till she climaxed in a series of jerking, twisting spasms. We removed our fingers as she hung limp in a stupor, the bridal gag dangling from her thick lips until it fell onto her saliva-coated breasts, and dropped to the floor. The vice chancellor examined her front, beaming with pleasure and excitement.
Well, that went handsomely, eh? Judging from all the cunt juice on her thighs, she certainly seems to like the crop and has a high pain tolerance. And what a bonus to find her so anal erotic.
Let's let her rest for a few minutes and have a drink before we conclude our little play. In the living room, we drank brandy. The vice chancellor turned to me. You did say she'd given hand jobs to a couple of boys at once? I nodded. Good. We can only hope she'll be as talented at her first double blowjob. Personally, I have no doubts. She is the most beautiful and the hottest that you've ever found for us. And by far the most submissive. She has a need for humiliation as well. I think we've got the whole package here and for another 2.5 years. Delicious brandy. Shall we continue? He nodded. Just give me a minute alone with her. I think it will be worthwhile. Take your time. I'm content to sip my brandy. In the bedroom, I was staggered anew by her wonderful appearance, the shackled ankles, long legs encased in stockings, streaks of white cream on top of livid stripes crisscrossing her inviting ass. Her head still hung low, so I grabbed her short black hair and pulled, raising her head from her collarbone and her breasts from the bra. Her eyelids fluttered open. My dear, you have no idea how beautiful and exciting you are. Look in the mirror. She turned to the floor-length mirror and stared for several moments at her abused ass. These are the precious marks of a young woman. They show beautifully on your smooth skin. It's like getting a tattoo, but far more elegant, a proof of your submission. I guess they do look kinda cool. She acknowledged. How do you feel? My arms and breasts are a bit sore and of course my ass is killing me. Did the salve help? She nodded. Was that the best orgasm you've ever had? Oh yes, headmaster, by far, but I don't understand why. That's simple. You like to be restrained by various means. You're naturally submissive to forceful older men. You can tolerate a severe level of pain, and that pain excites you sexually. Plus, you are what is called anal erotic. Do you understand? She nodded, overwhelmed by this lengthy description of her fundamental nature and what it would mean for her future. Are you prepared to cooperate further? Because I would hate for the Vice Chancellor to come back and punish you even more. More? She asked innocently. I thought we were done. What more could he do? Then she saw me looking at her breasts, straining against the tight leather bands. Oh my God! She muttered. Yes, the Vice Chancellor particularly talented at what's called breast discipline. Now if you serve us well, I'll remove the bands from your tits as a reward. Little did she suspect that we were hardly done with her breasts for the night. Oh yes sir, please sir. I unhooked the collar strap from the cleavage strap and removed the Velcro breast straps, revealing the bruised and reddened skin beneath. She sighed as the brutalized breast sank down onto the quarter bra. I grabbed the salve and squirted the thick white salve on both breasts, then rubbed it in firmly as she resumed her moaning. When you used to do hand jobs, did the boys climax on you? No sir, they'd come in their shorts or into tissues I had. Do you understand how great your nipples look, their dark color contrasting with these lines of white lotion? I guess so sir. I untied her wrists from the hook above and her ankles from the floor rings. But instead of grabbing her by the arm again, I led her by the leash toward the bedroom door and watched as she walked into the living room, slippery breasts bouncing slightly, window light a half moon reflecting off her firm, oiled-ass cheeks. We walked to the ottoman and I instructed her to assume the kneeling position, strapping her ankles to the feet of the ottoman, refilling her wine glass, which she thirstily consumed. We're ready, sir. I called to the Vice Chancellor. Don't you look lovely? The Vice Chancellor murmured, looking down at her. His eyes roved over her submissive body, patting her tousled hair and flicking the distended nipples, greased with salve and saliva. Glossy hair, perfect skin, luscious tits, giant chocolate nipples, long legs, and a big wide mouth made for sucking cock. She was getting more excited as he spoke. He pushed two fingers into her mouth, probing inside, removed them, and squeezed her thick parted lips as if she were a pet. Headmaster tells me you like to service two at a time. Hand jobs are nice, Janice, but you're much too mature and talented to limit yourself. No, tonight you're going to suck both of our cocks, and you'll blow us both at the same time. Do you have an issue with that, or shall I grab a cane, bind and beat your big tits right now? Please don't cane my tits, sir. I'll be pleased to suck off you and headmaster. That's better. You might even get to come again, like that intense come you had in the bedroom. We removed our shoes, socks, pants and shorts. Since you like it in the ass so much, put this inside you. He held out a new dildo and anal plug, both longer and thicker than her beginner's models. The butt plug dripped with fresh lubricant. Her jaw dropped at the humiliating order, but she slowly took them and, her face contorted, pushed the dildo up her leaking cunt and the butt plug past her rear opening and all the way in, her eyes already glazing with arousal. Begin with your hands. Janice spat into both palms and began gently rubbing our cockheads. After a minute, she caressed our sacks and lowered her head to noisily slurp all around our balls. Only then did she start licking the Vice Chancellor's long cock. She was a natural, a gifted cocksucker with an acrobatic, teasing tongue, and strong lips that pulled and sucked out. We each smeared long trails of pre-cum across her forehead and down a cheek to her chin, on whichever side was closer. After a minute she turned to me and continued to switch every 30 seconds, soon thrusting her mouth on our members and experimenting with swallowing virtually all of our shafts till her gag reflex kicked in. Cleverly, our anal slut had crossed her ankles so that they held the base of the anal plug on the floor. Every time she leaned forward to go down on one of us, the plug was sucked almost out of her ass. Every time she drew back, leaving her lips wrapped around only the cockhead, she forced the plug in as far as it could. After only a few minutes, we were both getting ready to shoot. The Vice Chancellor held in his palm a small, simple, metal clit clamp, the kind that had a spring and no adjustment. Seconds before we shot, The vice chancellor pushed her head off his cock and, groaning with impatience, she resumed jerking our shafts, knowing we were almost there. Bending down, he opened the clamp and released it on her clit. She screamed in agonizing pain, a shattering climax flooding her as we began spraying her flushed face and tits with jets of hot jism, experienced enough to aim the splatters accurately. She fell forward in a heap at our feet as we milked our cocks of the remaining ropey strands of cum that fell into her hair. The vice chancellor grabbed the back of her hair and roughly yanked her up, lowering her back onto the ottoman so he could enjoy the view of her front. Like a bukkake veteran, she was covered in cum, snaking through her hair, dripping off an eyebrow, bubbling in a nostril, flowing from a nipple. He pulled the dildo and butt plug halfway out of her cunt and asshole, accompanied by the loud sounds of her labial lips relinquishing the dildo, and left them hanging obscenely in the air. She leapt up several inches in anguish, her body jolting forward and shuddering, her hands flapping, when he removed the clit clamp, her little cock a livid, lurid red. A delightful evening, the vice chancellor said, wiping his cock across one of her thighs and dressing. A remarkable slut. Well done, headmaster, well done. I will strongly recommend a serious bonus for you this year. I bowed slightly in acknowledgement. He departed, thrilled with the evening. I left Janice as she was in the moonlight, ankles still bound to the ottoman. On my way out, I inscribed a handmade card for her to see in the morning, thanking her for a wonderful evening and recommending she take tomorrow off and attend a couple of campus events, such as a dance performance and a theater reading. The card rested on a new laptop, prettily tied with black straps of leather and velvet. Chapter 5, Come Slut, Morning Marks. The next day I decided to leave her in peace, since she had plenty to recover from and plenty to process. But I did leave a message hoping that she was fine and urging her to call me if she liked. At tea time, I reviewed the day's tapes and saw a number of remarkably surprising scenes. When Janice awoke in her bed, it was almost noon. I wondered how degrading it had been last night to untie her ankles from the ottoman. She arose groggy and obviously sore, her entire face and breasts covered with dried discharges of the vice chancellor and myself. The only parts of her face that could be seen were her eyes and lips. Similarly, only her 1-inch nipples protruded through the encrusted sheath of cum on her breasts. Janice crawled to the foot of the bed, staring at herself in the vanity table's large mirror. Craving an even better view, she walked shakily to the bench in front of the table and mirror, licking her thick lips. She moved her hands over her face, feeling the dry jism, and drew her fingers across her breast flesh, exploring the texture of the hardened spunk. Suddenly she slapped one cheek and then the other, causing several pieces to break off and fall to the slack leather bench. She looked at them, dissatisfied, and suddenly slapped both breasts hard, watching as larger flakes descended. Their size seemed satisfactory, for she leaned over and picked up the two largest pieces. It was thrilling to watch her place the piece of stiff cum on her extended long tongue. She closed her eyes and I could see her cheeks bulge out as she swirled her tongue around, savoring the taste. When she opened her eyes, she carefully examined her face and tits. Perhaps she was looking for a difference in coloration between the vice chancellor's semen and my own, so she could compare the flavor. Not able to discern any variation, she turned to examine her ass, slowly moving her long fingers over each of the long, horizontal marks. Naturally, I was quite hard from this most erotic display, and it was far from over. Now she spread her fingers fanned out across both striped cheeks and she pulled them apart to see her rosebud. Still spreading her cheeks, she bent down to get a better look between her legs, the dark rose ring practically winking at the hidden lens that was only 3 feet away. To my amazement, when she left the bedroom she did not go immediately to the shower, but instead examined the instruments of her subjugation on the coffee table used on her the previous night, left there on purpose as a humiliating reminder. She touched the breast cinches and fingered the crop, then gathered up the dildos to wash in the bathroom. After making coffee, she sat down gingerly at the dining room table still naked to drink and read about the day's performances on campus. Every now and then, she would break off a piece of cum and eat it. I was stunned. Besides being an utterly gorgeous teen sexbot, our sub was also a veritable cum slut. After letting several flakes melt on her tongue simultaneously, she grabbed a breast and shook it over the coffee mug till a half dozen pieces fell into the black liquid. She watched as they dissolved, but the color was not light enough. So she shook the other breast and took a sip, concentrating on the flavor. Only when she had drained the mug did she shower, after which she applied fresh salve to her bruised cheeks. Dressed conservatively, she knew not to call attention to herself on campus and left for the day. The new computer still lay untouched. Since I'm so fond of anal intercourse, and since my teen slut was so anally excitable, I decided to fuck her ass first, providing her with a lifelong orientation to being but fucked. And then there was the planning for a visit from Janine, Janice's gorgeous single mother, who looked like an older sister. I'd have to inspect all the photos of Janine and ask specific questions regarding her lifestyle. After all, might there not be a gene that mothers pass on to daughters for being a submissive slut, open to anal, cum, pain and humiliation? This story is continued in the next part. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. We offer a free Erotica podcast and a premium patron taboo podcast which contains more intense sexual themes. You can subscribe to the premium podcast for $2 per month or support the Erotica Podcast on Patreon to support us and allow members to request future stories and themes. Links are in the description. Thank you for listening.